Our special Mother's Day message is titled, A Christian Mom's Greatest Asset. A Christian Mom's Greatest Asset. A Christian Mom's Greatest Asset. Every Christian mom has things in common, many things in common with every other mom. There's some things that are just universal mom traits, and it has nothing to do with your faith. It has nothing to do with your background. It's just sort of mommy things, sort of the way moms are. And a Christian mom has certain things in common with many other moms, like don't mess with my kids. It really doesn't matter what the culture may be. That's sort of a universal, that's where the mommy bear thing has come from. Mama bear has come from. Don't mess with my kids. I can mess with them, but don't you mess with them. You know, and perhaps maybe another one might be sort of getting overly emotional in their activities. Whatever they're doing on the stage or in the sports arena, you're right there with them. It's like you're standing on the stage beside them. My mom had this overly involved desire to be connected with whatever we were doing in sports. And so when my brother is wrestling, my mom is going through all the contortions up in the stands as well. And then she took it out of the stands and actually went down by the mat and said, get off of him. Yes, she did. And so my brother, being locked up in a half Nelson and on his one shoulder almost about to be pinned, is trying to mouth the words, Mom, go back in the stands. Go back in the stands. We were watching the Olympics earlier, I think this year, earlier this summer, the Summer Olympics, and the gymnastics team, I don't know if you saw that one clip of the parents with this one gymnast, and so they kept flashing away to her. I mean, they spent more time on the parents than they did on the gymnast. And so here she is trying to go through a routine, and they're showing Dad and Mom, and Dad's, you know, he's got some juice in him. He's moving a little bit, but not like Mom. I mean, Mom was all sliding over to the left, sliding over to the right, and she was putting her hands over her face, and it was just a thing to behold. They are there in that, you know, auditions, plays, singing, you name it. Mom is there. But there's also something unique and distinct about a Christian mom. And now I can go many places with this, as you could imagine. I could go with all the virtues of a Christian mom. Like I could say, a Christian mom is always kind. I could say, you know, a Christian mom is always content. I could say, you know, a Christian mom is always full of faith. A Christian mom is always patient. You know, I could go there, but that would be a problem because that would make this a totally irrelevant message. Because I know some of you. I know many of you. And I know that some of you will tell somebody something. One of your kids, you will tell one of them until you, if you got more than one, you'll go through all the names until you get to the one. My mama did the same thing. You catch them wrong, and they will wear you out. Patience, boy, didn't I tell you once? So we're not going to go down the road of the virtue, the virtuous Christian mom. Because even though we are growing, or you are growing as moms in those areas, we know that when you look in the mirror, and if you were to gauge your progress as a believer by how well you're doing in all those virtues, you might come up with a different assessment of yourself than the Lord or even your family. because you're probably harder on yourself than anybody else in the family. So that's not where we're going to go. For all of you who have placed your faith in Christ, regardless of the ups and downs, the ins and outs, your hot days and your cold days, you are still Christian moms. And that makes you special. There's something very special about you. It means that God thinks you're beautiful. It means that God thinks, regardless of what you may think, no matter what you may see in the mirror, God thinks you are spotless. God thinks that you are unblemished. God thinks that you are radiant. God thinks you are glorious. That's who you are in His estimation in Christ. It means you're a princess. It means you're a daughter of the King and that you're loved by Him beyond imagination. But there's something still more about a Christian mom that no other mom has. And this is her greatest asset, and it's found in the text that I want you to turn with me to look at. Turn to Psalm 115, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 11. And then I'm going to have another passage that we're going to look at, because I want to combine these two. But Psalm 115, and we're looking at verses 9 and 11. Psalm 115. Psalm 115, 9 and 11. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear Him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Whether you're reading this in the New American Standard Version, whether you are reading this in the King James Version, or whether you're reading it in the New International Version, which I just read, help and shield is used three times in this passage. They're all focused on the same thing. God is our help, and God is our shield. Christian moms, that is your greatest asset. God is your help and your shield, your help as you try to advance, as you try to make a positive difference, as you try to move forward. He is your help, and He is also not just your help, but He is your shield, because as you know, when you try to move forward, when you try to make a positive impact, there is often blowback. There is often resistance coming from those you are trying to love and those who don't want you to love the ones you're trying to love. Some of you know what I mean by that. And so your greatest asset is the One who is your help, helping you to move forward, helping you to make progress, helping you to implement the good things that you want to do to be a blessing to your family, and a shield to guard you and protect you when there are repercussions because of that. Now, I want you to turn with me with that in mind. I want you to look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to combine these two. John 14, and we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. And I will, John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. The King James Version says, another helper. To be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So combining that first passage where the Lord is our help and shield, we see from the second passage that he's not a help and shield that's out there somewhere. But this verse makes it clear that the help and the shield lives inside of you. The one who is our help and shield is not helping from a distance. He's not helping from afar. He's not shielding from a distance. He's not shielding from afar. He is helping and shielding from within. As I say, he is nearer to you than thought itself. So if you're taking notes, here's the main idea. A Christian mom's greatest asset is the living God living inside of her. A Christian mom's greatest asset is the living God living inside of her. A Christian mom's greatest asset is the living God living inside of her. Now, if you're not impressed with that, if somehow that was like, well, Pastor, that was the great big build-up for the big letdown. If that sounds and if that feels coming at you sort of blasé, I need to repeat it again. A Christian mom's greatest asset is the living God living inside of her. I mean, how much more profound can anything be than that? I have nothing more profound to say than the living God lives inside of you, and he is your greatest asset as a mom. See, this is what makes all Christians different. Dad, you're going to get the same message. On Father's Day, when it rolls around in June, I'm telling you ahead of time, you're going to get the same message. You're going to get the same verses. I'm just going to customize it for Dad. But don't you worry about it. You will have forgotten about this message by then. What makes us different, what makes you different as a mom, as a Christian mom, is the living God living inside of you. It's not your code of ethics that makes you different. It's not superior morality that makes you different. It's not that you found some secret way to do mothering that nobody else has found. It's not because you get up in the morning and you float around throughout your family's life giving them wonderful blessings of rapturous love from above. It is none of that. The difference in you as a Christian mom is the one who is living inside of you. And think of it this way. It means that Christ is in you by his Spirit, and he is co-mothering with you. Wow. He is co-mommying with you. He's inside of you, motivating and inspiring, transforming. He's doing this. You're not doing it. Not as a Christian mom. He's living inside of you, motivating you, inspiring you, transforming you, counseling you, consoling you, guiding you, refreshing you, reviving you, recharging you. He's the one that's doing this. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's the living Christ. It's Christ alone. This is what makes a Christian mom, a Christian mom, and this is her greatest asset. He's co-mommying with you because he understands what you're trying to do. You know, I really appreciate last Thursday at Bible study, one of our distinguished moms here this morning, Miss Harrietta Allen. Yes, I'm calling on you, dear. We were having this discussion, and she said, one of the things that has revolutionized her life is understanding that the Holy Spirit lives inside of her. Now, Miss Harriet has known the Lord a lot of years. She's been walking with Jesus a long time. But as the Lord has helped her to not only hear about it, mm-hmm. not only to understand it, but to realize that the living God lives inside of her, she said, I will never forget that. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
So I am prayerfully delivering to you a familiar message and hoping that God will take it to an unfamiliar place within you. A place where your realization of this treasure that is yours, this asset, this amazing thing. And I can tell you as a pastor, as a dad, as a fellow brother in the Lord, this miracle is transforming my life every day. I know the theology of it. I know the verses about it. I've known them since the day I came to know the Lord. I was blessed to be in a fellowship of people who taught the scripture and taught me that I was sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption, the moment I put my faith in Christ. I was taught that He is the guarantee from God, that He is the deposit guaranteeing my redemption. That when Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit is the receipt. The Holy Spirit is the one who marks me as belonging to God. I've known that. But I can tell you that as time has gone on, the miracle and the gift and the blessing and the power of His presence within me is becoming more than just a concept. It's becoming a living reality that is transforming my life every day. And moms, when you think about all the stuff that's involved in mothering, when you think about all of the tips that you're getting as a mom, take them. Take what's good. Embrace it. Thank God for it. But don't forget your greatest asset is the living God living inside of you. Because, see, He's the one that turns the light bulbs on. He's the one that identifies the ideas. This one's for you. That one, not so much. He's the one that inspires you one more day from a good place, from a whole place, a place of fullness. Means that Christ is serving as a partner with you in mothering because He understands what you're trying to do. He understands you. He knows what you want to be. He knows what your fears are. The miniature ones, the normal size ones, the large ones, and the extra large ones. And they're all in there. You know, I was pulling my grandson in his wagon in the neighborhood earlier this week or last week. And from across the street, these four little girls were yelling, hi, hi, cute little things. Just hi, waving at my grandson. So I'm pulling him and we walked a little further and came back around to them, and as we were coming back to them, they came racing towards the wagon, all four of them, introducing themselves and smiling and beaming, and Major's taking this all in and kind of grinning and waving, cool, kind of. And so then we get ready to leave after they've chatted for a little bit, and I'm pulling the wagon, and I say to him as I'm pulling him away, I said, you know, I'll tell you how to handle that in a few years. And I projected a few years down the road his response.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, Pop Pop. That's okay. Right. I got it.
I got it, right?
I got it. See, as a child, that's a miniature issue. It's not even a bleep on the radar screen. It's nothing. It's cute. But as a preteen, that same issue becomes a normal size problem. By the time they start driving, that same issue now ranges from anything from a normal to a supersized, extra large problem. Amen?
Amen.
And what your greatest asset is, Mom, is not that you're going to always have the right answer or be able to fix it or stop it or any of that. Because you may not. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have any control over that. It's not all of your care, and all your care doesn't control it. It can influence, but it can't control. There's a difference between influencing a person and controlling them. You don't have control. You can't be every place he or she is. You can't be in his or her ear wherever they may be and whatever else they may be hearing. You can control the television set when they're this tall. You can control it as long as they live in my house, it's my rules. But when they leave your house, and they will... Prayerfully, hopefully. You got to realize that you need assets beyond your own. And particularly, you need an asset. One asset beyond your own. You see, and that one asset is the one who sees and knows and fills heaven and earth. And as I said in this just a moment this past week, I'll share it with you. You know, if you're concerned about the place and the spiritual place or the spiritual process of your loved ones, and we all are moms, and I think moms feel it in a special way. Dads feel it too, but moms feel it differently than dads because they're different. But if you're concerned about the spiritual place of a loved one, I wrote, you don't have to be the one that God uses to influence him or her to a closer walk with him. You don't have to be the one. See, because ultimately it's God. And God is not restricted to having to use you to bring your loved one into a closer relationship with himself. God has quite a selection of influencers to choose from. He's got cute people. He's got tough people, streetwise people, polished people, rough people, successful people, quote unquote, gentle people, funny people, smart people, and cool people. And it's a good thing, because any one of us trying to be all those things would find it exhausting. So release your concern for them to his abundant people resources, his wide assortment of earthen vessels, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. People who are filled with his power and influence that he designates and sets aside and positions in the lives of our loved ones. One asset, the one who knows all things. He knows what you're trying to accomplish. He knows what your insecurities are. A Christian mom is never alone in her mothering. Sometimes it feels that way, but a Christian mom is never alone in her mothering. Remember, your relationship with him is personal. It's not a spiritual program, and it's not an exercise. Your relationship with him is personal. He is the help and shield, the scripture says. He is the help and shield. Not just the provider of good ideas. He himself, the living God himself, is the help and the shield. So whatever stage of motherhood you may be in, the best preparation that you can make for whatever stage of motherhood you may be in is your personal relationship with the Lord. Learning to believe and receive who he wants to be to you, that he is your help and he is your shield. That's the best thing that you can do for your children, for your loved ones, is to invest in realizing who is your help and shield. Internalizing that. Clinging to that. Like Laverne said in reading Psalm 42, as the deer pants, my soul pants. My soul thirsts for the living God. His presence within you means the energy of his inspiration is always available to help you. Your Heavenly Father cares about your family more than you care about your family. And you can endlessly draw from him without draining him. Other people, not so much. But him, you can endlessly draw from him without draining him. In fact, Psalm 105 invites you to seek his face continually. Seek his face continually. He cares about you being stressed out. He wants to be your shield. Rely on him. You know, I think about the example in the Old Testament of Hagar. And God showed up in this woman's life twice. Once when she was pregnant, fleeing from her mistress, Sarah. And God found her in the wilderness and said, go back to your handmaiden. Go on back. He found her. He knew where she was. She was wandering. But he found her, and he sent her back. And then later on, when the boys were older, here he was, Hagar's son, Ishmael, was taunting Isaac. And Sarah wasn't going to have anything to do with it. Remember what I said about don't mess with my kids? And so she told Abraham, you got to get rid of her, because her son is taunting mine. And so the Lord told Abraham, don't be afraid. I've got this covered. Send her out in the wilderness. Do what Sarah said. Send her out there. I'm going to make a great nation out of him too. And so here's Hagar wandering around in the desert with this young child, and she runs out of water. And she puts the boy under a little bush, under a tree, and she walks away because she can't bear to hear him cry or see him die. And then it says the Lord opened her eyes so she could see water was right there. And I'm always amazed by that, because in Hagar's mind, she was wandering. In her mind, she didn't know where she was going. And all the while, she was wandering to an oasis that God had already set up for her that she was not aware of. In her mind, she had come to her wit's end. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a plan. I don't have a plan. I don't have the resources. But there was one resource who was watching. And throughout all of the wandering, there was guidance actually taking place. You know, you think you're wandering. You may not know what you're doing, but there's somebody who does. You don't know what you're doing, but there's somebody who knows what you're doing. And he knows you don't know what you're doing. He knows that. He has already taken that into consideration. And so when you're in those moments and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. The Lord is saying, I know you don't. But that's not the point. The point is, I know what to do. And see, this is what relying on your greatest asset looks like. You see, you don't have to have it all, be it all, know it all, do it all. You don't have to be all of that. All you have to be is a Christian mom. And realize what you have as the ultimate asset. The one living inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. When motherhood is overwhelming, your dad knows you. Can't fool him. Put on a happy face if you want. Try to have a stiff upper lip if you want. Your dad knows you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He knows you. And he's with you. You know, I was just praying the other day, Lord, with you is all I need. Lo, I am with you. Lord, if I got that with you, that's all I need. I'm good. I don't need thousands of other things. I don't need thousands of other verses. I just need to know that you are with me. And what I need you to do for me, Lord, is to help me to realize that you are with me. Not just know it. You see, I need your Holy Spirit to help me to realize this, because then I'm good. I remember my mom saying, Danny, this was her favorite little phrase. When I was getting ready to go back to college, she knew I was getting ready to get out of sight and out of her clutches. And out of her influence as far as directly. And I say directly because, you know, mom is still, she's there. You know, even if you don't think she's there, she's there. And if she ain't there, she knows anyway. Somehow she knows. And if she doesn't pinpoint the exact thing, she's got a real good idea of what that thing is. It's surprising. How do you know that? Sixth sense? But I remember my mom would say to me, Danny, give me a kiss. You see, I love you. And I wouldn't say anything. She'd say, say I love you back, Daddy. You can say I love you back. So I love you, Mom, too. And she'd say, keep your hand in God's hand. Wow. That's what she'd say. I haven't forgotten it. Keep your hand in God's hand. Danny, keep your hand in God's hand. Now, give me some sugar here. Can you see her? Yeah, I can see her. My mom was 4'9", by the way. Duh. Your mom was like towering over my mom. And I would always say, when she would say that, I'd always say, yes, ma'am. But I never knew exactly what that meant. I mean, what are you exactly asking me? You ask me to go to church? You know, what are you asking me to do? Keep your hand in God's hand? What are you asking me? I don't really know. But see, that wasn't important. It wasn't important that I know. The reality was that through her prayers, she was putting my hand in God's hand. That's what was really going on. She was the one putting my hand in God's hand through her prayerful influence. And the Lord was never far away. You know, you may think that your kids are sort of jettisoning this whole... Don't believe them. Don't believe them. When your kids say, you know, I don't believe, and I... Okay, fine. See, but I'm not trusting in you, Junior. And I'm not trusting in you, Sally, or whatever her name or his name may be. I'm not. My trust is in the one who is bigger than your ideas. You think you got some big ideas, don't you? But see, my trust is in the one who's got bigger ideas. And you think you know yourself so well, but see, my trust is in someone who knows you better than you know yourself. My trust is in the one who made you, who formed you in the womb. My trust is in the one who knows how you think before you even get there. One asset. He is their help and he is their shield.
Thank you, Father.
And some of you are going to try to share the law. Lay down the law. Because you're afraid. And you don't want your children to be hurt. Go ahead. Lay down the law. Okay? If it makes you feel better, lay it down. Makes you feel like you have a little more control, lay it down. But don't trust in laying down the law. You know, and some of you are like, I don't know whether I should or shouldn't. I don't want to pull the trigger. I don't want to be too hard, because then, you know, I'll lose them. Don't trust in your loose managing of the situation. He is their help and their shield. Trust in him. Do the best you can and leave it alone. As my wife would say to her friend after they had a long, hard working day and they'd done everything they could and it still wasn't fixed, she'd say, go home and eat your dinner. Leave it with him and go home and eat your dinner. I'm done.